Life's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Life's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham Scott, alongside, as always. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the shoulder season.
Heyo.
It is officially softball season has ended.
Correct.
And curling season has yet to begin. And so, what are your plans for the shoulder season?
I don't know. It's a great time of year. The nights are getting cooler here in Ottawa. It was like 11 degrees last night. It was very nice. And I don't know, just hang out outside, take care of some of the winter prep that needs to get done around the house here. And
just
take advantage of some extra free nights that don't normally occur over the course of the year.
That's true. A lot of beautiful, cool weather happening now, a lot more free time. But I got to be honest, my body's going to miss the getting out there and running around for at least one night a week, which sounds silly, but I was kind of sore today after playing last night. I had those quick twitch muscles going on a few sprints, and hamstrings were sore.
Yeah, that can happen playing the outfield in the advanced softball age, at least.
Yeah, Sean, you know, when you keep stats for your curling season, as we discussed at our end of the season episode, I assume you don't keep stats for softball.
I do not, no.
But you hit one of maybe the biggest home run, like longest home run our team has hit this year.
It's hard to tell, right? Because so I'm a left-handed hitter, and the park where we play at, right field is deeper than left field, but also behind the fence in left field, there's trees and stuff.
So you can't really tell.
So it's hard to tell how far balls go to left fields. I got a hold of that one. It's one of the few times, Scott, where I actually swung the bat as hard as I could, which is rare for me.
I know. I was like, I wonder why Sean doesn't swing that hard all the time. But
just preservation, you know?
Yeah. At our advanced age, that's true. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I don't keep stats either, except unofficially.
Yeah.
I think I averaged almost two home runs a game.
Nice.
There was two games only where I didn't hit any, and I hit two in multiples. So somewhere between one and two.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I hit three on the season.
Three?
By memory, I think I hit three. I can remember three.
And you hit one that bounced off the top of the fence.
And right? Got out, yeah.
And got out, yeah. That one was impressive, too.
More so just because of the random bounce.
Yeah. Wow.
I think I said at the time that should be worth two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And last night, somebody on the other team hit one off the very top of the fence, and it came back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all evens out. Yeah, minus one. Get out of here. Hit it further.
Yeah. We did though, Scott. You sent it around today as you were the contact point for our Monday team. Did get the email today. Or at least you forwarded us today.
I did.
The draw will be out relatively soon. The request for buys is now available to go in. And we'll be starting up the last Monday of September, which I think is the 29th. I think that's what that was. But yeah, we are a little over a month away from hitting the ice.
Yeah, but 5 weeks out. So we'll take the shoulder season's opportunity to rest, recover, fully get our bodies ready to go. That's a good reminder for you, Sean, to send me your buy requests if you have any.
I have none. I have nothing on the go the first 6 weeks of the season.
Great. I will reply to the gang, and seems like there's one where two of us will be gone, so I'll request that
one. There you go. That's the request right there. Hopefully it's a late one.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
All right. Well, with the curling season forthcoming, we thought we would go back and talk about some of the news that we've missed over the course of the summer between some of the themed episodes we've done and us being away at various points. I haven't really kept up with a lot of the news coming out in the world of curling over the course of the summer. Hasn't been too much this year, but we do have some news relating to the Grand Slams. They've put out some information, the Canadian curling trials, a couple of minor lineup changes, and the Olympics are fast approaching and the fields are almost fully formed. We know more teams who will be participating in the Olympics than we do not at this point in terms of the actual teams who are going to be representing their countries. And the mixed doubles field is fully formed at this point. So we'll go through and chat about all the news that's going on here. Scott, what strikes your fancy to start? Olympic stuff, some Curling Canada stuff, some team stuff. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Grand Slams. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay. So let's get into the Grand Slam news. Some of this is actually pretty interesting, I think, Scott, when we look at it. First, let's go with the inaugural under 25 and under 15 events. So these are two Grand Slam of Curling affiliated events that will take place in Beaumont, Alberta, starting on October the 16th. So a U25 and a U15 event. So I think this is a really good idea. It's going to be taking place at the same time as the Tour Challenge over in Nisku, Alberta. And forgive me, I don't know exactly how far away Nisku and Beaumont are. I'm going to assume they're relatively close to each other, but we're going to have teams coming in from, we have 30 teams in total coming to Beaumont for this event. Scott, I really like this idea when you're looking at trying to expand the game out, get younger teams in, get them some exposure. Hopefully some folks out there in Beaumont will go to this. The finals taking place at the Tour Challenge on the Arena Ice. I really like this idea. There are some names that you might recognize who are in, certainly the U25, probably not for most people, the U15. I didn't recognize any of the U15 teams. But on the U25 side, you got some teams that you might recognize. Gray Withers on the women's side, Henderson, the Scottish team, Faye Henderson, will be there. You also have Team Cooey. That's a familiar name, of course, in the U25 on the women's side. On the men's side, Team Davies, who we sponsored a couple of years ago, they'll be there. Team McNamara, they're local to us here in Ottawa. Team Johnson Tau from the University of Alberta. So you got Team Scott that we've seen at provincial championships, that we've seen out on tour a little bit, and now here's another opportunity for them. And you know, when the curling group took over the Grand Slams, we wondered what were they going to do? How are they going to invest in the sport? And I got to say, so far, we'll talk about something else that they're doing next, but so far, I'm pretty impressed with these types of initiatives.
Yeah, definitely. A good way to get some of these younger up-and-coming teams an a chance for exposure, a chance for playing under some good conditions, and I think a bit of a purse, right? So definitely something worthwhile and something I'd looking forward to. Sean, you mentioned you weren't sure how far apart Nisku and Beaumont were. Over under 10 kilometers away.
I'm gonna go over.
It's just under. It's 9.3 kilometers away.
Shoot.
Located conveniently just to the northeast of the Edmonton International Airport.
Okay. All right. So, well, there you go. Very convenient. I thought there might be more farms in between them.
Well, I think there's a lot of farms in between them, but only 9.3 kilometers worth.
All right. Well, there you go. And I misspoke. I said 30 teams. There are 30 Canadian teams in this field. You got 16 on the U25 women's side. 16 on the men's U25 side, and the under 15 division will be 8 teams in total. Most of those are from the West on the U25, but James Craig too is in this. Should mention the Scottish team. So really an impressive field there, and good job by the Grand Slams.
Yeah, and this will be alongside, did you mention this, Sean? It's alongside the Tour Challenge.
I did mention that. Yeah, thanks for listening to the show, Scott.
Well, I was busy looking up the distance between Nisku and Beaumont. Okay. Yeah, but that'll be fun, and for sure a good chance for these young teams to get a chance at some good competition.
Yeah, and something that is needed, right? Like, they can go play in some of the tour stuff, and this, but to have like a big event, have everybody come together, really exciting. Mm-hmm. All right, to a similar end, the Grand Slam of Curling is also hosting its inaugural wheelchair curling invitational. So this is going to take place in late September, September 24 to 27 at the KW Granite Club in Waterloo, Ontario. It will then move over to the Western Fair Sports Centre in London, Ontario for the bronze and gold medal games. And this will take place side by side with the Masters final on September the 28th. There will be streaming for the medal games in this. So very exciting to have wheelchair players. We've talked about this before, Scott, when we talked about how to fix the slams. This was before the curling group bought the slams. This is one thing we talked about. Why not include the wheelchair players in these events in some capacity? And now we have the wheelchair Grand Slam taking place with that first Grand Slam. So the first one will have the wheelchair players. The second will have the U25 and U15 events.
Yeah, no, definitely cool. It's almost like the curling group was listening to our podcast and implemented these great, like we are just idea people, right? We don't implement things. But,
no, just ideas. Well, they amazing. Did the challenge part too with the pick your opponents and stuff.
Yeah. We talked about that too. So that awesome to see this being executed and having the wheelchair athletes able to play in the same event, at least in the same arena for the finals, I think will be really, really cool opportunity to expose a lot more Canadians to the wheelchair game who are watching the broadcasts, and give the players and the teams an opportunity to, you know, play some more meaningful games against each other.
Yeah, so really, really good idea. There will be four teams in the field, two Canadian teams, British team, and an Italian team. Mark Idison will be participating in this. They don't have full rosters that I've seen yet, but we'll certainly get those as we move forward. But yeah, a great initiative. And two, because it'll be taking place, those final games side by side with the Tour Challenge, I think one of the things, Scott, is not a lot of people have had maybe the opportunity to see the wheelchair game, to see it go. And the last two Olympics, it's been the middle of the night, and or the Paralympics in the middle of the night with Korea and China. And I mean, it's hard to get those games live. It's hard, like the Paralympics don't have the same coverage as the Olympics. So here you go. If you're going to see the Tour Challenge, you're going to get to see these athletes. You're going to get to see the differences between the difference of the wheelchair game and how it plays slightly different strategy, different shot selection. And hopefully that generates some new fans, get some more interest, because these athletes, as you and I both know from watching, but they're pretty damn good.
Yeah. They're definitely highly, highly skilled athletes. And I would challenge anyone who thinks that that's not hard to try it. And it's like playing stick curling while you're sitting down with no sweeping and placing rocks like on a dime. So definitely a lot of skills involved there, and it'll be good to have the opportunity to showcase it to a wider audience, like you said.
100%. Yeah. All right. The only other thing is that we do have the lineups that are set for the Masters in late September. That'll be taking place, as noted, side by side with the Grand Slam wheelchair event. But we do have the lineups and the teams set out for that. And something that is kind of interesting, that for the 2025 edition, we will have tier two. So in this one, we will have the tier two event taking place in St. Thomas at the St. Thomas Curling Club. And then the finals will be held on September 28th at the Western Fair Sports Center alongside the tier one finals. So again, this is the curling group and these Grand Slams putting more money into these events, having more teams come in. And, you know, when they bought it, they talked about developing the sport, and this is the sort of stuff that you need to be doing. And it's nice to see.
Definitely nice to see. And I think we're saying nice things about the Grand Slam of curling, Sean.
Yeah, it's weird.
It feels weird.
Yeah, feels strange. All right, Scott, I think that does it on Grand Slam specific stuff. So that leaves some Olympic stuff, some Curling Canada stuff.
Let's go Curling Canada. Save the Olympic stuff for the end.
All right, so Curling Canada has made a couple of announcements. First one, no surprise, we knew this already, but the pre-qualified teams for the Scotties and the Brier were announced. Of course, the defending champions of Rachel Homan and Brad Jacobs already had their spots booked. And on the women's side, joining Rachel Homan will be Carrie Anderson, Kayla Skrillick, and Christina Black as the three pre-qualified teams for the 2026 Scotties. Any surprises there for you, Scott?
I think after the Scotties that Christina Black's team had, they were like on track for this, but having two Nova Scotia teams, I think, will be a first.
Well, unless you count,
I guess,
Colleen Jones. And there's a Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, like, since then,
yeah,
which is pretty significant. And probably, you know, we talk about the Brad Gushue effect of boosting participation in the Newfoundland playdowns. I wonder if there's a similar effect here on the Nova Scotia playdowns, and we see quite a bit more participation.
Yeah, well, especially since you had that combination, Christina Black, Jill Brothers, right? Like the two best skips in the province coming together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, other than that, not a huge, like, no surprise names really there. Right. Maybe some people would be surprised about Kayla Skrillick, but they had a great season last season, so it makes sense.
All right, on the men's side, joining Brad Jacobs will be Matt Dunstone, Mike McEwen, and Brad Gushue. Any surprises there?
No surprises there, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing. Gushue really
avoids
surprising.
The dreaded residency requirements.
Yes. Again. Yes. So we'll see what happens with that team after this year. Of course, a lot of shakeups are expected as we go into the next Olympic cycle. And we do wonder if Brad Gushue will have to think about the residency rules or not. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he just says that's enough when that comes up.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Another announcement related to a Scotties 2027. It is going east. It's going back to Charlottetown. Fifth time that Charlottetown will host the Canadian Women's Curling Championship. And it'll be the first city to host five times. Scott, last time in 2011, that was, of course, the very, very memorable Jennifer Jones, Kathy Overton Clapham game.
That game was a part of that event for sure. And I'm going to remember this for the next time we do Scotty's trivia. Yeah. Charlottetown is the first city to host five times. Probably not what I would have guessed in a vacuum, and probably not what a lot of other people would have guessed, but they do put on a great show there on the island, and happy to see the event going back there.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. They always do a good job out there. Also, Scott, Curling Canada has revealed the draws for the 2025 Canadian Curling Trials and the pre-trials. So if you're looking to buy tickets, if you're looking to go, or if you're looking to bet on what the TV games will be, here is your chance. The draw is fully out for those two events. nothing. I don't know. I don't get too jazzed about like the schedule. Everyone's going to play everyone else. This is just giving us the times mm-hmm. as to when it is going to happen. Three draws a day. We might have talked about this. So it'll go men and women alternate back and forth, 9:02 and 7 local time out in Halifax.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that. It's going to be hopping in Halifax. Super fun place to go and watch curling. Now that the teams are out, are there any, you know, matchups from early in the week or late in the week that really strike you? I'm looking at them now.
Not really. I mean, all the games matter.
Yeah, they all matter, and like everyone's good. So,
yeah.
The last draw of the event before the playoffs start on the men's side, you've got Brad Gushue against Brad Jacobs. That seems like it could be a big matchup.
Yeah,
and you've got Mike McEwen versus Matt Dunstone.
Yeah, two good games. So,
you know, probably look, I think those are the top four qualifying teams by rankings coming into it. The others are Kevin Cooey, John Epping, Ryland Kleiter, and the pre-trials qualifier.
Yeah, so those are probably the top four you'd be looking at.
Yeah, so you've got them all facing off there on the last draw. On the women's side, Anderson Holman headlines the last draw, which is something that you know, we all want to see. Yep. Seen so many great matchups between those two teams.
Yeah, it could be a game for first place too.
Yeah, exactly. And that first place is huge as it gets you the bye into game one of the finals.
100%. Other thing should note that Curling Canada did announce related to the trials. Scott, can I get, remember when we did the commercials, can I get a Connect hearing?
Connect hearing.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. Scott, they will be the presenting sponsor of the Montana's Curling Trials. I don't know what that means, but it gives us another excuse just for you to say Connect hearing like that.
Great, Sean. Great. I might need to, you know, go pay Connect hearing a visit because everyone tells me I don't hear them. And I disagree. I think it's just because I'm listening to music. But, yeah. You know.
There you go.
It is what it is.
All right. Last announcement from Curling Canada. This came out earlier this summer. Actually, I don't have a date on this this press release from Curling Canada, but they did announce the athletes for the wheelchair program in 2025-2026. A big year with, of course, the Paralympics. So the athletes on the senior program are Gilbert Dash, Douglas Dean, Ina Forrest, Jillian Hopkins, Mark Idison, Kalinda Joseph, Chrissy Molnar, Dennis Thiessen, John Thurston, and Marie Wrights. The next gen program will have Carl Allen, Leanne Kerr, Terry Fowler, and Reed Mulligan. So those are the individuals who will be competing for those Paralympic spots. Of course, the mixed doubles Paralympics, Canada did not qualify four, so only five spots will be up for grabs for the Paralympics this year from Canada, and that is a very deep bench that Curling Canada has to choose from. A lot of really good players with a lot of experience on that list of athletes.
Definitely, Sean. Good list. It's going to be tough to put that team together.
Yeah. All right, Scott, let's do just a couple little tiny lineup changes here before we get in to the Olympics. These are from British Curling. Changes for Kyle Waddell and James Crake on their teams. So Bruce Mowat, Ross White, their teams are not changing. Rebecca Morrison, her team is not changing, but a couple small changes elsewhere. We'll start with the women's side. Faye Henderson, we see a small change. Laura Watt is going to take over for Robin Monroe, who has opted to step back from curling. So they'll still be a five-person team, but Monroe out, Watt is in. Over on the men's side, James Crake is getting a whole new team this year. He is going to be playing with Jake McDonald, Fraser Swanston, and Rory McNair. So that is going to be his team. The people who were with James Craik, Mark Watt, Angus Bryce, and Blair Haswell, they are going to pair up with Kyle and Craig Waddell on a five-player team there. So looking at that next gen of British curling, Bruce Mowat has said that he's going to do at least another quad, but some changes here on the younger end of British curling.
Yeah, we're just trying to mix and match and see what the best combination is for, you know, that follow-up next generation. Makes a lot of sense. It seems to me like they don't really have anything to lose by trying these kinds of things. So shake it up, see what the chemistry is, see what sticks. No problem with that.
All right. We do have a couple results from on tour already this year. The Hokkaido Bank Curling Classic was held earlier in August over in Japan. Team Yoshimura and Team Abe come out on top as the champions there in Sapporo, Japan. So congratulations to them. Scott, how seriously do we need to take events in August?
Well, you know, they count for points and they count for money. So, yep. You know, but probably that's about it. I'm looking on Curling Zone right now, Sean, that the Euro Super Series has begun with a spiel in Stirling.
Ooh.
And I see some European teams, mostly Scottish teams there, but John Schuster also playing and Corey Dropkin.
Okay, very good. That event ongoing as we record. Also, the Baden Masters has taken place, and congratulations to Marco Hosley getting the win there, beating Yannick Schwaller in the final.
Yeah, and Yannick Schwaller, I think, won the round robin, so had quite a good week. So good on for Team Hosley to take him down in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations to them. Also would note that the United States held the Pan Continental Curling Qualifier earlier this month, a couple weeks ago, and it is going to be Team Schuster and Team Peterson representing the United States at the Pan Continental Curling Championship. That doesn't mean that those are the Olympic teams. It means that they're going to the Pan Continental. So congratulations to them. And we still have to get to the Olympic qualifier for the United States to see who's going to go to the pre-qualifier, the Olympic pre-qualifier for representing the United States.
Yeah, a lot to think about there, Sean. And this year will be the first year the Pan Continental will not take place in Calgary. So it will be in Minnesota somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know where exactly, but yeah, the U.S. will be hosting this year.
Yeah, and so the U.S. Olympic trials will be in November, and then that last chance qualifier will be in December. So whoever wins there will be going for the United States.
Yeah, well, a lot of dominoes left to fall.
Yeah, a lot is going on. Last thing before we get to the Olympics, the Korean Curling Championships took place back in June. I understand why they do it in June, but I also don't like that they do it in June. But that's just me, I guess. And coming out on top, so your Korean national teams this year are going to be Kim Eun-ji and Kim Soo-hook on the men's side. So congratulations to them. Team Kim has been very, very good and has played some incredible games against Rachel Homan. So not too much of a surprise. I think in the past 2 years, they really have emerged as the best women's team in a very deep field in Korean women's curling. And then Team Kim on the men's side. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, Team Kim, number 6 in the world right now, and up to number 5 on the doubletakeout.com rankings.
Well, sure, they've played. No one else has really played.
True.
So there you have it. Some news, some results here early in the season. Now let's shift over to the Olympic Games. We have had some announcements from a lot of countries. I don't know if that's a good sentence. Some announcements from a lot of countries. There have been announcements from some countries as to who will be representing them at the Olympic Games. Of course, we still do need two more qualified nations in the men's, women's, and mixed doubles fields. But here's what we have so far confirmed. Start on the men's side. Canada, of course, we still don't know yet. We have the trials coming up. Czechia, no surprise, Lukas Klima and his team will represent Czechia. Mark Moskatowicz will represent Germany. The British Curling Association has announced, not surprisingly, Bruce Mowat will be the British representative. Nothing officially from Italy yet, but it would be a bit of a stunner if it is anybody other than Joel Retournaz.
Sean, it's listed on Wikipedia as being Joel Retournaz. So,
okay.
However official that source is.
All right. Norway is Magnus Ramsfeld. Sweden, Nicholas Edin. And Switzerland, Yannick Schwaller. So if that is in fact the case that Italy has formally announced Joel Retournaz, then it's just the Canadians at this point who need a rep.
That's right. That's right. And that's pretty standard, I think. None of these names are surprises.
No, not at all. Yeah, that's what you would have expected there. On the women's side, of course, the Canadians still do need a rep. The Chinese will be represented by Team Wang. Madalena DuPont making another Olympic appearance for Denmark. Rebecca Morrison and her team will be the Team GB representatives. Similarly, what I'm seeing, no official announcement from Italy, but I would imagine, Scott, that Wikipedia has Stefania Constantini listed. As mentioned, South Korea, the champions from June, it will be Team GIM. Sweden is Anna Hasselberg and Slavana Tirinzoni from Switzerland.
Yeah, again, no surprises.
No surprises at all. On the mixed doubles side, in late June, the British announced that it would be Bruce Mowat and
Jennifer Dodds.
Jennifer Dodds. This headline is wrong. It says Mowat Morrison. Sorry. Bruce Mowat and Jennifer Dodds will be the mixed doubles team. That announcement came out about 6-7 weeks ago. They will be joined by Jocelyn Peterman and Brett Gallant from Canada. Estonia will be represented by Mary Kaldvi and Harry Lill. Norway by Kristin Skaslien and Magnus Niedergrotten. Sweden, Isabella Rana and Rasmus Rana. Switzerland will be represented by Breyer Schwaller-Herleman and Yannick Schwaller, and the Corys from the United States, Corey Teasy and Corey Dropkin. Again, what I'm seeing, nothing official from the Italians, but would expect Amos Mosaner and Stefania Constantini, the defending gold medalists and world champions, to be in that field. So still waiting on two more nations, but Scott, at this point, we pretty much have all the fields and just need the nations that are going to fill them out.
Yeah. And to, of course, get those Canadian reps on the men's and women's side. So yeah, we can already start digging in, Sean. We can start looking at, you know, past performances, head to head matchups from all these teams, and really start to get an idea of predicting what we think will happen. With the caveat that curling, you know, you do need to get hot at the right time. And none of these teams have really started the year except for Team GIM there from South Korea. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, the teams that are playing in Europe. But, you know, the heart of the fall spiel season hasn't really started yet. So we'll see how teams perform, you know, out of that first Grand Slam into some of the other spiels. And for the Canadian teams, how they go into the trials, and for the other teams, how they take that momentum into their Olympic prep.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. We're just over a month away from that first Grand Slam. Then for the Canadian teams, you have the points bet, then the other Grand Slam, and then you're really into, for the Canadian teams, that's trials, like mm-hmm. in terms of the big events. And for the European teams, of course, you have the Euros. That will go forward. And, you know, you got Rachel Holman and Brad Jacobs who will play in the Pan Continental. So some tune-ups there, but it's you know, I hate to say it's getting late early when the season hasn't even started yet, but November is going to sneak up on us here, mid-late November. And it seems for the Canadians, they're going to have to be in top form.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We talked about it being shoulder season. That means for sure the heart of the curling season, that fall spiel season, is really coming up quick.
Yep. And, you know, this is the time of year where, you know, those shots, those Monday morning at the trials, those big sweep shots, you know, they're made this week in the gym.
That's right, Sean. That's right. I was doing battle ropes today, just getting ready for standing stuff from the bottom of the from the tee line back
for standing around. Yeah. So there you have it. I think that's my list, Scott. Is there any news that I've missed out?
Sean, the only thing that I recognized or I noticed that you did not bring up is that Kevin Martin has been elected to the 2025 Canadian Hall of Fame.
Sports Hall of Fame
class. So good for him. Congratulations to Kevin Martin.
Yep.
And I've put a link to a YouTube song in our chat that's all about Kevin Martin. So
Ooh. You can
take a listen and see if you want to tag it on at the end.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Actually, I'm going to click on it right now and I'm going to put it in posts and see what we got here and get a live reaction.
Cool.
On the 28th of February 2010, Sidney Crosby scored the goal that beat the Americans. But the night before, in front of Steve Donald Sutherland, the skip of skips beat those Norwegians and their Norwegian pants.
Shout out to the pants.
So it's three more cheers for Kevin Martin, wow, the Gretzky of ice.
This is catchy.
Yes, it's four more briars for Kevin Martin, the old bear of the rock. Now if Kevin went to Hollywood.
All right, I will stick that all on at the end.
So this song,
What Does It Eat? That's the band?
Yeah, I guess so. This was a friend of ours was over on Friday and was telling me about this song, and it was friends of his from law school, I think, that made it, or somewhere, maybe university.
All right.
So, yeah.
Nice. We will post it somehow. I only 26 views on YouTube. This is way catchier than 26 views.
Well, maybe we can goose those numbers. Put it in the show notes too.
Yeah. Get it up to 52.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So congratulations to Kevin Martin. Certainly well-deserved. When I saw that headline, I was frankly, Scott, surprised he wasn't already in.
I know. That's me too.
Yeah. So there you have it. That is the news here in the summer. I think we've talked about brooms and stuff enough, but we will talk about equipment in the weeks that are forthcoming. So if we haven't done a full breakdown of sweeping yet, we will get into more stuff about equipment as we get into the season. Next week, my hope, my goal, is to do our Am I the Asshole Curling Edition episode. So if you have ideas or scenarios or situations where you might have been the asshole, send them in. You can email us gameofstonespodcast@gmail.com. Send me something on the socials @gameofstonespod. I look at Blue Sky more than anything else, and by more I mean like twice a week. I'll go into it, but you know, send something to me and we'll get it on to the show. We'll do that next week, and then we get some stuff planned for September as the games start to roll on. So if you want to hear any of that, please do subscribe if you have not yet. Help do all the ranks, the ratings, all that good stuff, helps other people find us, and head on over to gameofstonespod.com. All the past episodes are there, plus a link to the merch. Whew. News, Scott. Whew. Man, it's been a while since we've done news. It felt good. I like that.
Yeah, it was a good news purge, you know? Yeah, pretty good. I think, Sean, I'll be on the socials a little bit more with Bill's season coming up.
Yeah.
I do like following the Bills Mafia people all on Blue Sky there. It's really fun. a lot of like happy game days and winning Mondays, all that good stuff, you know. So I'll be back on there and hopefully celebrating some more Bills wins.
Yeah, I got to circle those wagons. They definitively just didn't bother trying the other day.
No, they didn't. They didn't play the starters or the backups.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts that they have enough people that they can do that.
Well, I mean, they can do it and lose 38-0 to the Bears, but all good.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I recorded it, and so I was like, oh, should I watch? Maybe not.
Nope. Yeah, so that football season, baseball season coming into the pennant races here. I was in Toronto this past weekend, went to the series against the Rangers, had a very swell time down there. Blue Jays take 2 of 3. So a lot going on, not only curling, but the busiest time in the sports calendar is coming up here, Scott.
Sure is, Sean. Once we get all 4 major sports on the ice, on the field, on the court, on the diamond, all those good things. Yeah, it really picks up. The summer is great for baseball. You and I love baseball. We watch baseball all the time.
Yep.
But really, once everything is happening, that's sort of the sweet spot. And the fall really is my favorite sports time of year. I was at your house, Sean, not too long ago. You've got 2 screens all set up, ready to go for double screening. I'm looking forward to coming over, watching some of that curling, maybe that Masters on one screen, some football on the other screen, some baseball. Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be really good for playoff baseball on Sundays. Like, it's, yeah, got a pretty good setup. We are locked and ready to go. And of course, we're going to have all eyes, though, on curling. And we'll be here to chat about it all along this fall through the 2026 Olympic Games. So we'll be back with you again next week to talk a little more curling. And until then, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
On the 28th of February 2010, Sidney Crosby scored the goal that beat the Americans. But the night before, in front of Steve and Donald Sutherland, the skip of skips beat those Norwegians and their Norwegian bands. So it's 3 more cheers for Kevin Martin, the Gretzky of ice darts. Yes, it's 4 more briars for Kevin Martin, the old bear of the rock. Now if Kevin went to Hollywood, who'd bother our good lad? Lest they thought he was J.K. Simmons, the guy who played Juno's dad. But in Edmonton and Calgary, sing a different tune. When the old bear's walking down the street, you'll cheer and ladies swoon. So it's 3 more cheers for Kevin Martin, the Babe Ruth of ice darts. And it's 4 more briars for Kevin Martin, the old bear of the rock. Now a humble man is Kevin, he keeps his shiny head at Kevin's Rocks and Rackets in Northwest Edmonton. Though he's won $2 million by launching rocks on ice, he'll get you started with your own set for a fair and honest price. So it's 3 more cheers for Kevin Martin, the Babe Ruth of ice darts. And it's 4 more briars for Kevin Martin, the old bear of the rock. Now we can't forget his teammates, those champions of the world, Mark Kennedy, Mitts Kekkonen, John Moe, Vinton Curl. And he lit a fire in our hearts that Hebert stoked with coal. Those men swept us off our feet when they took home the gold. So it's 3 more cheers for Kevin Martin, the Gretzky of ice darts. And it's 4 more briars for Kevin Martin, the old bear of the rock. Yes, it's 3 more cheers for Kevin Martin, the Trudeau of ice darts. And it's four more briars for Kevin Martin.